Hello, this is Brian Wobbler with another episode of the Chasing Tone Podcast, the podcast about guitars, amps, effects, as well as a healthy dose of interesting off-topic discussions. Joining me today again is Blake Weiland, host of the Tone Mob Podcast, entrepreneur and effects pedal junkie, as well as Richard Oliver, Wobbler's own man of many hats, longtime tone chaser, and a digital entrepreneur. Hello, fellas.
Hi.
Good evening.
You're going to hear a beep in a second because I'm turning my fan off.
Oh, I like the beeps.
That's fine.
We should keep the beep in there for sure. Right.
I don't know if you heard that beep or not, but it beeped.
Did not hear the beep.
But. Okay, then you're not going to hear a beep. I got everyone excited for beeps and then I let them down with no beeps.
It's funny because usually there's a lot of beeps whenever Richard talks, but it's mostly whenever he's cussing.
This is a scurrilous rumor that I refute, good sir.
Well, you guys are looking really good today. I just want to get that out there. You know, you guys are looking great today.
You're looking very much like the Incredible Hulk, as viewed when I don't have my reading glasses on.
That's it. Yeah. So basically, to the listeners, of course, as you probably know if you listen to the podcast, we see each other through a very crude sort of camera thing. But today, Blake is nothing but a green blob. I don't know if like... Looks like his camera's pointed towards a stoplight and has it's real foggy out, maybe. I don't know.
It's called art, guys. I wish you would get in tune with my aesthetic.
Sort of hipster Oregon art.
Green fog from Oregon. Never heard of that before.
It's green and brown. I'm not keen on it. I'm just gonna say it looks a little bit like a Martian wasteland, and I don't want to think about that right now.
I mean, you wouldn't get it, you know? You wouldn't understand, Mom. It's not a phase.
I don't understand my own mother, so I definitely wouldn't understand yours, Blake. That's a fact.
No, I'm just in a computer wasteland. My vintage, at this point, 2009 mouse, I accidentally dropped it yesterday. And it exploded all over the place. And I tried to put it back together and I thought it was working. And now it just has a blinking green light. And therefore, because of that, I can have no camera today due to various technical things that people probably don't care about.
I think this is just a really lame excuse. I think you've done something stupid to your beard with some razor blade. And you don't want to show it to us.
No, I did something stupid with my mouse by dropping it on the floor is what I've done. If you want to see how dumb I look currently, I just made a reel today and a TikTok video, so you can go see that.
I've noticed you've been jumping on the TikTok train again. I've been watching.
Yeah, and it's doing nothing. So,
I'm definitely not going to get into politics. I've told myself that today, that on this episode, I will not get into any politics because right now there's a lot of politics. But I am going to say I don't think TikTok right now is delivering the same algorithm as it was a couple of weeks ago.
They've changed the algorithm for sure. Absolutely, yeah. For sure.
So,
And I will say Travis Feaster has figured out how to kill it on TikTok though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you probably haven't seen his stuff since you're not on that platform.
No, we talked about it like last week or the week
before.
Did
we really?
Yeah. I'm a fan of his.
Killing it.
Yeah. He's very amusing. He has a God-given talent to play the guitar.
And yeah, that's helpful. Yeah,
that's helpful, definitely. But also an awesome sense of humor, which together make great TikTok videos. I've shared quite a few from the official Wampler Instagram account because more people need to see them. So yeah, I'm a fan of those. So that is some TikTokery I've been doing.
TikTokery, I like that.
Yeah, man, my videos really basically did nothing the past week or so. And I know they changed how this, it always turns into a TikTok marketing episode, doesn't it? They changed how the algorithm, what videos are on the For You page. And I think they changed what they're calling a view as well.
Oh, really?
I think through the grapevine. I don't know. I haven't confirmed it, but that's what it seems like.
I've always questioned the view thing on TikTok and Reels, honestly, because it's like, this got 1,000 billion views. And it's like, did it though?
two likes and one comment. Yeah.
One comment and 4 trillion views.
Yeah.
And it's always a view. Is it a complete view?
It's a tenth of a second.
Exactly. So just someone who scrolls by and stays on just long enough to go, no, I definitely don't want to watch that, and scrolls off. Exactly. There's no qualitative determination here. It's all exactly.
I do feel like it is, like, literally, or at least traditionally, has been, like, if you watch 1 second of this, we're counting that as a view. And that's exactly. That's not a view. It's like you've got an
eager intern going, yep, that's a view. Well, our viewing figures are up. Like, that's what the algorithm is to me. But I'm a fan of what Travis has been doing. Yep. There's this boring dude called Brian who keeps talking about, like, amps and pedals, though. Have you seen him, Blake?
I have. The worst part is when he's breaking down the individual parts of the song and remixing them. It's horrible.
Where did he get his stems from? He's like Batman, because probably Batman has a secret source of stems.
What software are you using to separate all the audios? Yeah,
It's called Pirate Bay. I mean, allegedly.
the technical stuff does not seem to be working at all on the TikToks. Mm. Folks just don't. Some people do like it, but it's very small numbers.
Yeah, I found that the less effort I put into the TikTok videos, the better they do. And so I'm just going to do bare minimum effort of TikTok videos, because
that is totally part of the aesthetic of all successful video-based social media, really, isn't it? For YouTube, it's great to have a polished video, but the funniest videos are somebody's random home videos. And it's the same on TikTok. If you go too far, if it's all well lit and you're wearing some kind of anime costume, like Brian sometimes does.
Sometimes, most of the time.
Then it gets a bit much. But, you know, if it is just you wearing, like, your slimy logging jacket, if such a thing exists.
What the hell is a logging jacket? What is that?
What do lumberjacks wear above their jumpers?
What the hell is a jumper?
That's what you put between two circuit boards.
That's right.
That's a piece of wire on a circuit board. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. What in the world's going on here?
Why would I wear that?
Sorry, what would a lumberjack wear above their sweater stroke shirt?
I'm not even approaching that joke.
Well, I'm giving you the option there, Brian. I'm not giving you a euphemism.
I like to hear slash. I think slash would be instead of stroke. That's a nicer way to do it. I don't know.
What would they wear above their shirt? A coat.
Exactly.
A hat.
A Loggerman coat, as I've just invented.
A Loggerman coat.
Like a Carhartt jacket?
Oh, steady on. That's gonna trigger some people, isn't it, Blake? Don't think we're allowed to say that.
There's literally nothing we can say that's not going to upset someone somewhere. That's
you know true. What? At this point, I'm so grumpy today, they can all just eat it. I don't care. Everyone can eat it. Everyone.
I have noticed, and I promise to the listeners I'll get off TikTok in a second. I have noticed that there's a lot of creators and channels on TikTok that are, like, going away temporarily because people won't like something they say, and so they'll basically report them for harassment or bullying. Mm-hmm. And it looks like TikTok's just like, oh, well, apparently he's bullying. Like, I was talking about solid state amps. How was that bullying?
Well, because my tube amps felt neglected when you did that. Okay. Okay.
Oh my gosh, man. So yeah, I still like the platform, but it's wearing me down a little bit. It's wearing me down a little bit. I think I need to. I'm glad the spring and summer is coming, so I can get off of the telephone.
If it's wearing the telephone, you listen down. To me.
Get off of the telephone, and it's a rotary dial. You know.
Yeah. Have you taken any reduction in caffeine or?
What, I don't understand the question. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, if it's wearing you down, your normal energy levels are provided by caffeinated beverages.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's never an option.
Okay. Because I was going to suggest maybe you just, like, went straight onto the cocaine and just made a few TikToks and we saw what it was like to watch Brian at the speed of light. I would imagine that's frightening.
No, can't afford coke.
Kids.
can't afford Coke in Martinsville. We're just going to go for that pure blue meth. That's what we're going to go for.
Well, I gather again from our friend Mr. Feaster that is a popular pastime in Martinsville, the consumption, well, maybe not Martinsville, but Indiana.
Yes. Methodestrians, he calls them.
Consumption of
meth.
I've never heard of that denomination. I think I made that joke last time.
It's fine. We're a few episodes on. No one will remember anything. Yes, they will.
They will, and they'll remind me.
And they'll copy and paste and post.
Yes.
Screen record this. Yeah.
How very dare they? So what's new, chaps?
I'm about to finally, at long last, I have no idea when it'll show up because, you know, supply chain, but, I'm finally about to order a new camera and I'm slightly excited about it. I'm not as excited as I would be about a guitar or a pedal, but.
You going Sony or Canon? I'm
going Blackmagic.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
I think, Henning Pauly, I think he uses a lot of those.
Does he? Yeah, I'm going with the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema 6K. Mm-hmm. I'm only going with the 6K version just because I don't like buying this kind of stuff. And I think by going 6K, that will buy me several years of future proofing before I have to upgrade. So,
yep, there's nothing wrong with that. I had a Sony before. I didn't like it as much as the Canon stuff. So I went back to Canon.
Yeah. What are you using now?
I just use a Canon 90D.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, for whatever reason, I like the interface a lot more. I think all of them are really good. I think they're all so close that you really could create whatever you want with just about any of them. But I just like the feel of the menus and stuff. And, you know, I like the picture profile of the Canons a little better.
I am thinking about just for like more general vlogging type videos. Getting the Sony, what is it? I think it's called the Z1 or the ZV1. I can't remember off the top of my head. It's a little more stripped down, but it's kind of designed to make that stuff really easy. And I think between that and the probable like new iPhone that I will need this year, because I've had this 10 is, it's been dropped a lot. Let's just put it that way. I think between the Blackmagic, the Sony and a new iPhone, I'll probably like be pretty solid for a while camera wise, I think. And
oh, you'll be fine, dude. Yeah. I almost dropped my iPhone into the toilet this week. I was on the phone and, you know, like, and I was like trying to do like three things at once.
Yes.
I was actually washing my hands for those who want to know. And the phone, because I had wet hands, slipped out of my hand. And in slow motion, I saw it like slowly going towards the toilet bowl, which was open. And I'm like, no. And so I literally like hit it as hard as I could, smacked the shit out of it.
The phone, you mean?
And the phone. Oh, yeah. Okay. And funny, Mr. Richard. So anyways, that would have been a crappy day.
Yeah. My real question is, why are you washing your hands in the toilet?
Saves water that way.
Wait a minute. Is there another way to do it?
Have you seen? I think it's Japan where they have the sink integrated with the toilet flush. So you wash your hands afterwards, then you flush which makes a lot of sense.
Actually,
you flush
that does make sense.
Pee pee down with the water you've just washed your hands with.
Really?
Yeah, that's actually a good idea.
It's a very good idea.
That. Yeah, but America won't do that for the next 300 years. And then we'll act like we've invented it.
That's right.
These Black Magics look quite tasty. They're quite expensive, Blake. You're splashing out a little there. Did you say you were going for the Pocket Cinema 4K or 6K, you said, didn't you?
The 6K, yeah.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
No, they're not. They're not. But see, I think I've had good luck with over-investing in technology that I'm going to use constantly.
Yeah.
And having it last me for a long time. Like we've talked about my computer. My last computer was a 2009
Commodore
Mac
Pro. Vic 20, yeah, sure.
Yes, a Commodore. Yes, it was a Commodore. 2009 Mac Pro, and that was quite expensive when I bought it, but it lasted me 10 years. I don't expect that out of this camera or any new computer going forward, but I've had decent luck with over-investing in things I'm going to use constantly.
I mean, generally, with computers, 100%, you should always buy the maximum amount of processing, graphic power, memory, and hard disk storage or solid state that you can afford. With cameras, I've actually gone slightly the other way, because I used to have, like, not the Pro, which I think used to be the Nikon D2, because I've always shot Nikon, and Nikon, Canon, they're all basically just a preference thing. They're technically identical, right. Really. I had the D200, which was their sort of step down, and I went all like Pro and bought like the extra battery handle and all of that stuff, and just became so overwhelmed with the amount of options and bits and pieces that I spent more time fiddling with the camera than I did actually composing good shots. Now, again, I'm talking about doing a lot of, I used to do professional like product photography versus you're doing a lot of video work. So they're slightly different requirements. But I found that with cameras, you're best off just spending as much as you can on the glass, getting the best lenses you can get, and getting a good body behind them, not going silly with it. Because the lenses I've got now, I've had for some of them for 20 years, and they're still brilliant. Technically, I mean, my camera only shoots in 4K, I think. Maybe 5, I forget. But 4K for video. And it's 12 megapixel or whatever. Again, it's good enough for me. And it's more than good enough to shoot professional things that I've had blown up for massive, you know, banners and posters and stuff. So, I think it's a great hobby, but good grief, it's expensive.
It's expensive. It's so crazy expensive. Part of the reason I'm going with this Blackmagic one is because my
100% just the name.
Basically, you're a witch.
Yeah.
Right?
If it was
a wizard,
called,
actually, you would be a wizard.
I put the sorting hat on and it told me that I wasn't smart enough for school. So I don't know what I am anymore. Yeah. But there's actually a few reasons for the Blackmagic one. One, I'm working in DaVinci already. Like, that's what I use. And so by buying the new camera, it will give me that the full version with the camera.
Yeah,
so,
nice.
So if I was going to spend, like, it's really a pretty good, like, Resolve is a pretty good deal in video editing, in my opinion, because it's $200 for the full version, and you get a super powerful program for that. And then you only buy it the one time. They haven't gone to the Adobe model of subscription based yet. So you just pay the $200 one time and you get the program. Or if you buy any Blackmagic cameras, it comes with it. So, you know, that's since I'm already working in the free version, I'm thinking like I'll get the full version. And then the other thing is like it's got a EF mount, so the lens options are huge.
Yes.
And I like options in that. In that particular sense,
I would have preferred it if it was called the Black Sabbath Pocket Cinema, and everything that you filmed just had like drop D riffs coming out of it.
Angels gather in their masses.
Hold on, I said Black Sabbath, not Wayne Sabbath, the country tribute.
Wayne Sabbath. Wayne Sabbath.
That would be a great name for you. It looks amazing, man. I had this conversation with one of our demo artists who shall remain nameless, but he was trying to make his own thumbnail. He's like, what software do you use? I was like, Adobe, because that's kind of like my job. He's like, have you heard of this software? I was like, I've heard of it, but I've been using Photoshop for like 30 years. Why would I change away from that? So, yeah, I don't use anything other than the Adobe software for... I don't even use Final Cut Pro. We use Premiere and After Effects.
What? Yeah. No. Some people like their Premiere.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I've been using Premiere since like the second version or the first version, so it just makes sense to me. But Final Cut is also solid as hell. So yeah, 20 minutes of camera talk. I love it, guys.
Yeah.
This is the best guitar podcast I've ever
heard. Cameras.
Chasing image.
Do you think there's a camera podcast out there somewhere where they just start off by talking about how they just bought a brand new solid state amp and how great it is and all of that?
They're Telecasters, yeah.
I want to tell you guys, the trick is really expensive strings. Cheap guitars, really expensive strings. That's the guy.
So speaking of guitar and guitar podcasts.
What?
I know. I was on Guitar Nerds. It'll be next week for the listeners that hear that. Or excuse me. It'll be the previous week's Guitar Nerds episode for the listeners of this podcast. Oh, look,
I'll just be happy if I hear this one hit the air, because it means that no buttons have been pressed in foreign countries. So, yeah, let's be happy about that.
Yeah, so I realized that those guys, because Joe Branton, he told me on their Patreon episode, but I feel like this is worthy of discussion with you guys. They've always billed themselves as the world's number one guitar podcast, which may be true to a degree, but they've done a hack. They've pulled a fast one. They mm-hmm. are the number one guitar podcast in the hobbies category.
Ah. Well, we're kind of professionals, so, you know, that's fine. But
yeah, so I'm saying, hey, guitar nerds, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure Tone Mob and Chasing Tone are actually in the music category where they belong. I'm just saying.
Richard, remember when I was telling you we were best-selling authors yes. in the guitar electronics Kindle community or whatever it was?
We are, 100%. I am one of the most prestigious editors in the Greek guitar editing pedals made by Brian Wampler category.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm right up there.
Yep. So yeah, they always say that at the top. They like to poke us other podcasters a little bit and say, hey, we're the number one guitar podcast. And then Joe was like, okay, I got to tell you, it's because we're in the hobby category. No, I'm like, I see what you're doing there. I see.
Yeah, they got a good podcast though. I love their podcast. Yeah.
I love those guys and I absolutely love their podcast. And they do a great job. Really, yep. They do. I'm just teasing.
Yep. Hey, speaking of podcasts, I got the new JHS pedal.
I wanted to get one. I wanted to get them.
That's the worst segue you've ever come up with, Wampler.
I love bad segues. I love them.
That's Did you get like the saying, one in the folded wood, box? Let's talk about water.
Speaking of nuclear bombs,
no.
JHS just released a...
Seriously, don't, Brian.
One bomb pedal. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about this pedal. I saw it, the 250 Dodd preamp. And... interesting choice on the aesthetics. They've basically just done exactly the same, but changed the logo to JHS and changed the wording,
and
which is a nice little kind of retro vibe.
I think, yeah, and I know Josh did a lot of like historical work with talking to, you know, some of the older OG people that were working there at the time, right? Okay. And so he got a lot of the story. In fact, I was talking to him last night. He's like, dude, did you watch the video? I'm like, I haven't watched your video yet, but I promise I will this week.
Dude, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched a little bit of it. And it's cooler than, like, I'm a big DOD 250 fan, but it's actually cooler than I even realized, because he has, in the video, he talks about this, so I'm going to butcher this a little bit, but he has a DOD Gray Box 250 in this big enclosure that never really, like, it was like number 75, I think. And so if I remember correctly, it was like the oldest one you could possibly get that would have been production, because mm-hmm. there was other prototypes that circled around and different things. And I think it's labeled 75, but when he spoke to some of the people from DOD, it was like super, super vintage. Like, it was very, very old. I can't remember the exact details because I was sleepy when I was watching the video, but I'm like, I got to get one of these. I'm such a 250 fan. I need to get one.
That's interesting. So I want to pick your brain a little bit about the 250. What is, and not to take away from the JHS release, but what is it about that particular circuit? Because it's a pretty simple circuit.
Yeah, there's not much in there. There really isn't.
What is it that you like about it? Are you running it into a dirty amp? Are you running it into a clean amp? What are you doing with it that I'm just not grasping? I haven't been a huge fan of that circuit.
I like it because it's not a tube screamer, and tube screamers are terrible.
Definitely not a tube screamer.
I mean, no, I tease, but it feels like that if you're a tube screamer fan, if you really like tube screamers, you probably don't like 250s that much. And if you like 250s, you probably don't like tube screamers that much. That's kind of what I've found. Yeah, in general. I know two you know, quote unquote, public gear people who feel that way. One is myself and the other is Ryan from 60 Cycle Hum. Both of us don't like Tube Screamers very well, and we both love the 250. So, and there's a few other folks that fall into that camp as well.
Pick you up on that green blob. for me, I'm not a huge fan of like the Tube Screamers cranked, and I don't really care whether I've got an 8, a 9, a 10, 3/8, Ace of Hearts, whatever. Right. But I do love the sustain ability of the Tube Screamer circuit. So I tend to run mine with the gain down at probably less than 15%, I would say. Really low gain, but just giving it sustain. Do you not enjoy that flavor of tubing?
They still have that weird mid hump going on that I like mids in certain things, and I know they're necessary, but I feel like the TS circuit just accentuates them in a way that doesn't just not pleasing to my ears.
Have you tried it into like a clean Fender?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Really?
That's the worst.
That's like, really?
Yeah.
Cause I feel that those two like are actually work together really well. That's interesting.
It's because SRV I am not. So it like when I listen to Stevie Ray Vaughan, that's the sound, right? And I think he sounds amazing with that.
Sort of. I mean, it can be.
I mean, it's a lot of that, right?
I'm definitely not shooting for the SRV sound, but I'll tick mine in if I'm doing a solo. I'll mix it with my Mini Ego as well, because those two love each other. They are very, very comfortable in each other's company.
Where I do like a Tube Screamer. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Brian.
When I think of the two, like my ideal Tube Screamer tone, I think when I really started like just getting into them a lot, it was Brad Paisley's album, Mud on the Tires, and there's a song on there called, what is it called? It's the ballad on there.
Shine On You Crazy Diamond?
No. Oh, geez. I can't remember. It's the fourth song on there. It's the ballad.
I shall quickly,
damn it, I screwed this all up. Anyways, I'll figure out the song in a minute.
You can just edit it and make you sound like you actually know what you're talking about again. It's fine.
Well, you know, if he was going to do...
There it is, Little Moments. Little Moments.
I was going to say, if he was going to do that, he would have done it by now. Like, yeah, it's too deep.
So seriously, that solo is a Keeley Tube Screamer through, I think, an AC-30. And it is... magic. It's just, to me, like the sound of it just is so good. It's creamy but tight.
Stop making descriptions up.
It's just so it's got this grind to it that's just I love. You're not going to get that sound in a crank damp. It's kind of a combination of loud and I'm in love with it.
Well, some of my favorite tones have been created by people using a Tube Screamer. I just don't personally like it for me. Unless where I do like them is, depending on how the amp's EQ'd and like what's going on, is into a high gain amp or a high gain distortion to tighten them up and add that extra compression. I think they work really well in that application.
I used to really enjoy running my Tone King Imperial with just a little bit of a Tube Screamer just to push it over the edge. That sounded fantastic. But I use mine mainly on my clean channel now, on the Soldano. And like I said, normally I'm stacking it. I don't normally throw a lot of gain at it, but I just find what it does to my sustain is enough for me. But I understand that some people do not like it.
Are wrong. Some people are just wrong.
And equally,
some of us like the 250.
Well, I mean, I've not tried a 250. And I was saying to Brian, if I was back in the day looking at pedals to buy, it would never have made it to the top of my list. None of the guitarists I hung around with were really talking about it a lot. I was familiar with it, but I was like, I got to get a Rat first and a Tube Screamer, and you know, so I'm interested to try it out to see what it adds. But Brian, you're saying it's a fairly simple circuit overall. It's
It's pretty simple. It's just
one op amp basically. Yeah, fine.
Yeah, it's just one op. Like you literally could breadboard it in about 30 seconds.
Yeah,
it's 30 days for me, but yeah.
Yeah, even for a layperson like me, I can see it, look at it and go like, yeah, there's not much going on there.
But I mean, I like to be fair though, Fuzzface is the same way. There's only a handful of parts in the Fuzzface.
To me, the 250 is the Fuzzface of overdrive pedals.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't look at, I mean, I get where you're coming from. It's just, it does not vibe with what I do very well, unless I'm going into a dirty amp. Then I like it a lot more.
I like it into a dirty amp. I like it into a clean amp. I like the gripe I have with the 250 in stock form, because I have a very early yellow box, like essentially right when they transitioned from the gray, I have the yellow box that came immediately after, even with the gray chip and everything in it. And yeah, that was a nice score from Guitar Center for $40. they don't act, they're much like the DS1. When you put a DS1 above noon on the tone control,
ooh, it gets, why would you ever do that?
Exactly, you wouldn't do that because it's terrible. When you crank the 250 all the way up, it has some of those same unpleasant distortion characteristics that the DS1 has. So to me, you don't really take a 250 past about a stock normal 250 past about 75%.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense, because I actually like it with the gain down a bit. Just a little hint of dirt and use it kind of like clean tone.
Yeah, if you just have the gain backed way off, maybe say around 20% and the volume up, ooh, that's a nice like subtle crunch.
I agree. Yeah, that actually is a really cool tone, mm-hmm. for sure.
I don't know why, but there's something about me that always likes to leave something in reserve. So I think I've just looked down at my sort of main pedal board. Every single gain pedal is set well under maximum gain, and most of them at about 75%. I normally find that is, like, on a general gain pedal, my sweet spot. I like quite a lot, but not all of it. Mm-hmm. There's a joke in there somewhere.
Unless it's a rat, then you got to crank that thing.
Yeah, well, I use my rat right at the extreme end of the ratty tail.
But yeah, that's where the 250 shines. I think once you get it too hot, it's got this really not pleasant high end to it once the gain's all the way up. And I compare it to it doesn't sound like this, but I compare the unpleasantness to a DS1 when you have the tone control too high.
That's a fair description. Mm-hmm. I actually was thinking, what would happen if I took the Distortion Plus circuit here, or the OD250, basically the same circuit.
Yeah, same thing.
And wonder what happened if I took that and then turned that into a tube screamer, just to piss people off.
I'd be very angry about it.
Video was made.
That's literally what I was thinking. I'm like, that might actually be a good video. I definitely could get some reactions from people.
you could do it in the style of Ryan Burke, given that he hates tube screamers.
I don't have the same viewers that Ryan does. He's got a whole different type of, not good or bad, just a different type of
viewer. Yeah, but I just wanted to see you with a huge flowing beard.
I can't pull off the beard like Ryan can. Ryan has a majestic beard that I can never pull off.
It's only gotten better over time, too.
It has. Yeah. It's aged like a fine wine, hasn't it?
Is that beard? That beard was always quality, but now...
Guys, this is getting weird. Hey. I'm just going to let you know.
It's the stuff of legend. Hey. Welcome to Beard Talk.
Well, I'm definitely interested.
I may or may not have a crush on his beard. It's fine.
It's fine. It's not weird. But speaking of Ryan and 250s, the collab that they did with my friend Leon from Pelican Noiseworks, mm-hmm. the 50-50. It's two 250s in a box, similar.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah.
Similar in concept to the EQD Gray Channel, but I think they did it better because they're independently switchable and they're just slightly modified. One's like stock and one's got a little bit of a different sound to it.
The EQD wasn't, that's quicker. It wasn't independent.
No, it wasn't. It was all or nothing. And I was like, ah, man, I love that concept. And in fact, I think if I remember correctly, that's what inspired Ryan with the idea. He got the Gray Channel because he loves 250s and was like, this is awesome, but I wish I could turn them off and on independently. And Leon was like, well, we can do something like that. The 50-50 collab that they did, I think, is the best 250 variant out there. I love that.
I've never
that
played one.
It's so good. And Ryan needs to hurry up and make a new graphic so that Leon can make more of them, because more people need to play that thing. It's so good.
I'm looking for it right now. Let's see if it's on the Reverb.
So it might be. And if you remember what happened a few years ago, there was some I don't know. I don't want to call it anything nefarious, because it's not. It was all in good fun, but some slight market manipulation going on with those, because people were laughing at Reverb flippers who were flipping those things for a lot of money. And so all of the people who had no intention on selling their 250s went on Reverb and listed them for like thousands of dollars. And then that did cause some people to actually flip theirs and sell them for way more than they should have.
I just saw a link tonight that showed a Dodd webpage on the Harman site, like reselling the, I guess, the latest version they did. Was it out of production?
It went out of production. They made a reissue 5-ish years ago, maybe a little bit longer.
So the link didn't work for me because I'm in the UK and we block all pedal-related websites that aren't Wampler in the UK now.
Mm.
It's part of our policy. and probably Thorpe Effects, to be fair. Oh, and Tate Effects. Oh, there's too many to name.
And Origin, and
there's a ton of companies from the UK. Yeah, hell yeah.
Victory Amps. Yeah.
There's a new one coming out soon. Dickhead Devices. They're an exclusive pedal company coming out of the south of England soon.
Really? Is there a Mr. Oliver that's heading that up? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's the owner, the proprietor's name is a Mr. Oliver Richards. He is no relation to me whatsoever.
Oh, and the Richards, gotcha. That's where that name comes from.
Yeah, the first pedals they're coming out with are the Bumness
pedal. The Cat's Bane?
The Cat's Bane.
Cat's Bane.
And
the Mantheon.
And the the Mantheon.
The Mantheon.
That's almost a better name for the pedal.
Just got Arnold Schwarzenegger on the graphic.
That should
just
totally be our next version.
The like, Mantheon.
Just ditch the Bluesbreaker circuit, and we'll make a different circuit called the Mantheon.
I mean,
Mantheon Deluxe, too.
I was always a bit iffy about the graphic on it, because it was supposed to be like a Greek god, and they tend to not wear a lot of clothes. So, he's quite
like ourselves.
With the Mantheon, you got to have me with my beer belly, my beer belly, and like a popsicle in my hand, like, hell yeah, bub.
I mean, Bri, that is the beer special butt. Edition. I'm making that. I'm going to do a cartoon of you, and I guarantee people will love that.
The Mantheon.
The Wampler Mantheon. You heard it here first. Amazing.
Oh, gosh, man.
So, Blake, I have to thank you in a way. You posted a picture of your adventures into tandoori chicken the other day.
I'm a changed man. I knew I was going to love it. I already knew. But
I'm
I love it
happy
more.
To welcome you into my world of color and flavor, one that Brian hasn't yet gone anywhere near, I'm sure. But what did you get? Just some tandoori chicken, bit of salad?
Yep.
Any bread? And did we have a naan bread?
I did not have a naan bread. I've had naan bread before, so I was like, I love naan bread, but wasn't feeling it that day.
The classic is the tandoori roll, which is a naan bread, some salad, a bit of cucumber raita, which is a yogurt-based dip for your benefit, Brian. And I need to call you Ryan then. I was thinking about the beer.
Ryan?
It's so lush. And then some tandoori chicken shredded in the middle, rolled up. That is a delicious sandwich alternative, my friend.
Well, I didn't know what I was doing for lunch today, but now I do.
I saw a Thai restaurant the other day, actually.
Really?
I saw it.
That's almost as good as eating in it.
Yeah, right? I saw it. Drove right by it. I was going to the music go round and bought myself a new little katana amp. But
we will definitely talk about that in a minute. But first, food, because after seeing that, you awakened the sleeping beast in me, Blake. Because if one of my friends shows me curry, within 48 hours, I must also consume curry.
I understand. Yeah,
it just ate away at my brain until I was like, no, I've got to do it. So over the weekend, I had a giant tandoori feast. And, like all traditional British meals. It was washed down with cool Dutch lager, and very little beats the combination of a really good lager and a really, and I went for a vindaloo as well as a little bit of a tandoori starter. So nice. that is heaven for an Englishman. I'm just going to let you know that, especially one who's half Indian.
I was going to say, it's, I mean, I think it's technically heaven for an Indian person, but qualify as both. So that works.
I do. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
But this is, I feel really lucky because we haven't had any Indian food in my neck of the woods. Like there is some in Portland proper, but that's a bit of a drive. There has not been any in the burbs where I'm at until now. And I feel really fortunate because it's ran by a small Indian family. Like they're just, it's not some, you know, dude like me, like just making, like I read this online and now I'm making an Indian food cart. It's
recipe on Pinterest. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, hey, no, I've had some great recipes from Pinterest.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it's not quite the same as having authentic, right?
Yep. Yep. So no, it was, and man, I tell you, I had high hopes. I had really high hopes for the tandoori chicken, and they were met, and I can even say probably exceeded. So that doesn't happen very often. I'm very, very happy, and I am also ready for lunch.
Well, I'm glad we have introduced you to something new. I cannot wait to take both of you out for a proper curry in England. One day that must happen.
Absolutely.
So that's my goal. On the Patreon, I'll tell you the story of the weekend which led to the curry, because something very, very awesome happened. But we're going to have to ask you about the katana, Bri. Tell us.
Tell us more.
This is the amp that you thought I told you to buy when I told you to buy the Katana Air.
That's true. I forgot about that. Yeah. So when was this? 2019, maybe? You'd bought, I don't remember the model it was.
It's the Katana Air. So it's the portable, wireless right. battery if you want version.
Right. And, so I was thinking, I'm just going to use this as a head. Well, there was no head output.
Although Andy Ferris has made a modification,
Andy Ferris came out with a video showing how to do that, but me basically not wanting to fiddle fart around with it, I'm like, I'll get to it eventually. Well, I just happened to be up on the north side of Indianapolis, and I thought I hadn't been at the music go around for a while. All right, so I bought this Katana, and I've noticed, of course, as you guys probably have, that there's a lot of people that love the Katana, and it's a good amp. But it seems like there's also a growing amount of people who like to use pedals with their Katana as well.
Yes,
rather definitely. Than just a, you know, a traditional tube amp like, you know, someone like me, I suppose, which confuses me. But anyways, so I bought one, and there's things that I love about it and things that I don't love about it. I definitely hear a huge difference in like the texture of the clipping.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we were talking about tube screamers earlier. I didn't like the way a tube screamer sounded into it at all. It was sounded pretty bad. At least I turned all the gains down, so I was oversaturating it. It just seemed mushy. Just like a pile of mush. And I didn't like that versus like through a black panel style Fender. I don't know. I'm still messing with it, but I think I might make an entertaining video if I can figure out how to do it in an entertaining way versus just a how-to demonstration. You know, like, so here's what it sounds like through this amp.
Have you got the app installed? Have you played with all the Bluetooth shenanigans?
Not yet. That's my next
So for app. Me, that's one of the killer features of the Katana range, is they're clearly aimed at, you know, your modern practicing, gigging, youth type guitar player, and the Bluetooth stuff is so tight because you can control everything from there. And that's why I like the Katana Air, because as a little practice thing, you got your phone, your headphones, and you've got that. It's amazing. And obviously you can get the headphone version of it, or it sounds pretty loud if you crank it. But what they've done software wise, Boss, is still in its infancy compared to where it'll be down the line, but it's brilliant. They've done a really good job, I think. But the only thing that is annoying is you can't stream Bluetooth at the same time as controlling. So what's quite a nice feature is you can like stream a Bluetooth track to the amp and jam along to it, which if I was like a 15-year-old kid again, God forbid that ever happens and some clone of me exists, but that would have just been amazing, because that is how you learn timing and phrasing, by playing along with other people, you know, at speed. But you can't fiddle with all the amp settings via Bluetooth while that's happening, unless they've updated the software, which they probably have, because I'm basically a boomer who's only played this, I think 6 months ago was the last time I switched mine on. But no, software-wise, I was really impressed. And the sounds, you're right, they're never going to sound like an array of 10 boutique pedals. That's just not their thing. But you're going to get all right sounds for almost all of the kind of major, you know, musical genres that a practicing guitarist is going to want to dip into. So it's a great way to start. My daughter loves it, because my daughter's like, she basically has my amp. She's like, I can't be bothered with pedals and all that stuff, but I do like...
What?
She's still young.
What kind of kids you raising over there?
An awesome one. I shall tell you why on the Patreon. But... No, she loves all the built-in effects, because she's just trying to get close. She's not trying to be accurate. And I think at that age, that's more important, is exploring the kind of just basic textures of delay and modulation and distortion. So it does a great job. You're going to hate it for sure.
I'm over here comparing it to my Sierra tone going, this doesn't sound dumbly at all.
And also for the price, right? I know they have a range of them, but I think aren't they all under $500?
Yeah. Yeah, I got this used pretty, you know, for half that or so, give or take. So
if you're looking to have a decent amp that can keep up with a band, you know, the 50 watt or even the 100 watt, you know, it's hard.
This is 100 watt.
Yeah.
And it's loud. And it's really bassy too. Has a lot of bottom end. Too much bottom end, too much highs. I do not like the 3-band EQ on it.
Well, perhaps we can start modding it. Oh, Brian, let's release a mod pedal for the Katana series. That would sell, you know.
They already have it. It's called an EQ pedal, and you just put it in the effects loop.
Don't burst my balloon.
Hey, how are we going to write another book with that attitude?
That's true. I'm going to have to scratch that from the record.
Yeah.
Everyone act like I didn't say that.
How to Modify Your Boss Katana by Brian Wampler.
Step one, buy a GE7 from Boss. Step two, plug GE7 into effects loop. So, all right.
You're just like the Grinch, aren't you, Bri?
You're a mean one, Mr. Womps.
I think we should stop singing that, because it's going to get rude and probably quite nasty pretty quickly.
And we'll save that for a Patreon.
Yeah, we got several good topics on the Patreon today.
Yes, sir. Right, I'm out of here.
All right, let's say a very, very special thanks to our associate executive producers, right?
Yeah.
From Patreon. Bill Bays, Jake Young, Justin Burke, David Tyndall, Nighthoss from... Oh, no, he's not with a band. It's just Nighthoss, isn't it?
But when you say Nighthoss, we should probably add reverb. So it just goes, Nighthoss.
Yes. Nighthoss. Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver with the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Vidar Frosthead, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo, Rick Calhoun, Jason Moss, and Patrick Fort. Patrice Fornes.
Yes.
Sorry, Patrice.
Sorry, I am.
He improved on the Vidar and the Dave Trombetti this week, but minus 3 points for the Patrice.
We'll just shorten it to Patty F. You know, what's up,
Patty F?
What's up, Patty F? How you doing,
DJ Patty F?
That was,
Patty F.
That was one of Harold Faltermeyer's lesser known tunes, I think. And on that electro bombshell,
boom. Yeah.
All right, if you're on Patreon, we'll see you over there. If not, we'll see you later.
Lederhosen.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@womplerpedals.com, and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, email info@tonemob.com, and Richard can be reached at richard@womplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts, and also check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. Make sure to check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/chasingtonepodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.